Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, give God a hand of praise. We greet you in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for his love that we can share with one another. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. I think everybody in here, even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, can make some noise. Come on, let's make some noise to the glory of God today. Man, what a blessing it is to be here, to see another day that the Lord has made. For those of you who are streaming with us, I'm Dr. DZ Cofield, senior pastor here at the Good Old Missionary Baptist Church. Let me thank you today for the privilege of your time. Thank you for taking time out of your day to give us an opportunity to inform your head, inspire your heart, and encourage your spirit to be all that God wants you to be. Remember, we're not here for you to make us a big church or me a big preacher. We're here to help you become the biggest and best Christian you can possibly be. So we ask you to like us, love us, share us with family members and friends, and let them know there's never been a better time for hope. Man, God is doing some amazing things in the life of our church, so much so that the devil is busy at an all-time high. And I've learned that many times you can use the attacks of the devil as a barometer, as an indicator of not just what God is doing now, but what God is wanting to do later on. If you look at, for example, the Gospel of Matthew, and you look at chapter 4, when Jesus goes into the wilderness, ushered in by the Holy Spirit, and the devil tempts him three times, it's clear that the devil tempting him in Matthew chapter 4 is because the devil knew what was coming in Matthew chapter 28. He said, if I can get him now, I can keep him from sending disciples all around the world to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And many times you can't see what the Lord wants to do in your life, but the devil can see it. And he tries to, if you will, bring some preemptive strikes to try to take you down and to distract you, to keep you from focusing on what the Lord would have you to do. And God has been busy doing some amazing things, and the devil has been busy as well. But we're grateful and thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness. I want to thank all of those who participated last Tuesday in our virtual prayer meeting, our initial meeting. We're going to be doing training over the next couple of weeks, and I want you to sign up for that if you have not had a chance to. Our next meeting is going to be Wednesday, May the 8th. Put that on your calendar, Wednesday, May the 8th at 7 p.m. For those of you who would like to be part of our virtual prayer ministry, our virtual altar calls. And basically, this is going to give people an opportunity who are watching via the World Wide Web. They'll be able, if they would like special prayer, they will be able to click in and come into a Zoom room, and they'll be able to pray with people face-to-face via the World Wide Web. It's going to allow us to take our ministry of intercession to the next level. So those of you who would like to be a part of that, make sure you sign up. And then I want to give a special shout out to our millennials. Man, we had a great, great meeting with our millennial leadership as we are proudly professing to them they are not the next church, they are the now church. And we want them to walk in who God has called them to be. Our next meeting with them will be on May the 2nd at 7 p.m. And so I want you to encourage, if you're a millennial, if you have children that are millennials, if you have grandchildren that are millennials, this is going to be a ministry, a FUBU ministry, for us, by us. So I told them they're going to have to take ownership of it. They're going to have to lead it, but we're going to be there to support them in a very intentional way to help them discover their purpose for life and living and the ministry that God has called them to do. Keep in prayer the family of Marcy Jett. Marcy Good Jett went home to be with the Lord, and we had her memorial service on yesterday. Sister Jett was part of our greeters ministry and was an absolute blessing to be around always encouraging, always smiling, always loving, and always giving. And we certainly will miss her here at our church. Want to thank those who have been supporting our True Youth who have gone into college. They got their little college care packages and sent us some pictures. And I tell you what, I saw was some of the goodies in there. Deaconess Smith and others were part of that team. And man, I was sitting there thinking, boy, I wish I had gotten a care package back in the day. Lord have mercy. Matter of fact, I want one now. Shoot, then forget back in the day. But you know, when you get, especially you get in that time of the year, man, you get in the midterms and getting ready for finals and all that stuff, man, just to know that somebody loves you and cares about you and was thinking about you in a positive way is always a blessing. So let me thank all of the True Youth staff for doing that. Rooted and Grounded, make some noise. Today we kick off our week 3 prayer experience. And as you heard on the video, I'm asking everyone in here to make a concerted effort in the area of the spiritual discipline of praying. We have in the past limited our prayer request, if you will, our prayer emphasis to our groups. This time we want to begin church-wide. So those who are in Rooted groups, those who are in PDL groups, those who are participated in the Rooted and Grounded cultural shift of our church, you already know what your prayer requirements are. But for those of you who are not in a group, listen, that doesn't mean you don't pray. Amen? Amen. Mic check. 1, 2. Can y'all hear me? Y'all? Okay. Yet everybody should be practicing the spiritual discipline of prayer. These are our life groups who have been serving, who are supporting the health and wellness ministry, bringing awareness to Black maternal health issues in particular. This event was held in partnership with the Harris County Health System. All of the life groups you should have already set. If not, get set your service project dates and times. And don't forget, next week, critically important, next week, we will have our Salt and Light Ministry Fair. We will have over 20 outside vendors here, along with a portal where you can register with over 100 other ministry partners. It's not enough for us to talk about being busy in the sanctuary. We've got to be salt and light in the world. And so we partner with these organizations, and all of this is really a part of our fulfillment of being church, not just going to church and having church, but the commitment to be the church of Jesus Christ, to be salt in the earth and to be the light of the world. So life group leaders, you can sign up next week for your entire group. And those of you who may have a passion in a specific area, you can sign up as well. Today we're going to continue our walk through the scriptures. And today I have a real simple message, but I hope it's an encouraging message to help you think about prayer in your life. And on the last page of the handout that you should have received today, I've included the prayer guide. For those of you who are watching, if you'd like to download the prayer guide, 4 steps built around the acronym of pray, praise, repent, ask, and yield. And we ask you to use that as kind of a guide. If you spend 15 minutes in each of those areas, you will have been praying an hour. You can do that without any problem. And there are many of you who have been testifying to me, Pastor, I never prayed an hour in my life. But man, I just thank God for this. And you can go even longer. You can go even further. I'm asking you to spend at least one day this week, at least one day. Now, you ought to be praying every day, but at least one day this week that you spend an hour of time with the Lord. Spend an hour of time in worship and in prayer with God, asking God not just for what you want, but asking God and yielding to God so he can make you into what he wants you to be. Amen? Let's pray and let's go to the Father. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight and will bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So one of the most important activities that you can get involved in the Christian life, one of the milestone pillar Christian virtues and spiritual disciplines that you need to exercise in life is prayer. Somebody has said if you want to convict an audience full of Christians as to how good they're doing in their walk with God, ask them when's the last time they witnessed to somebody and ask them when's the last time they really took the time to pray. Most of us, when we think about prayer, prayer is linked to crisis, catastrophe, or chaos in our lives. In other words, when things are really going well, we don't tend to pray. We are more likely to play. But when storms come, when problems come, then we start praying. And when sure enough storms come, we might even move to fasting and praying. They're not a regular part of our spiritual discipline. In other words, you don't spend intense time fasting and praying on the reg. It takes something normally to get you there. Jesus says in the parable that he begins at Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he tells them that men and women ought always to pray and not lose heart. Paul, on several occasions, including Romans 12, 12 and 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, he encourages us, look at Romans 12, 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. So we know we are commanded to pray. We are expected to pray. We are to regularly, consistently, constantly be praying. And I know for some of you, that's counter to how you've been taught to pray, because we've been taught to pray when a crisis comes. We have not been taught to pray every day. I mean, I know we pray over our food. I know you pray before you go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But I'm talking about as much a part of your life as breathing is to your earthly existence, that prayer should be a constant discipline that you practice in your life. Here's the question, though. What is God's purpose for prayer? Why is it that God commands us to pray? See, most of us don't pray consistently. Here's why. Because we've been taught that you pray when you want something from God. So if I don't want something from God or don't necessarily need something from God, then why pray to God? And we don't understand that prayer is literally our opportunity to have constant communion and conversation with God. This day, today, I want to talk about five purposes for prayer. I want to take the time in this topical expositional message to encourage you to pray on the reg. Five purposes for prayer. Now, this list is not meant to be exhaustive, and it is not in the order of importance, but these are five purposes that I believe may help you to learn that you need to pray beyond crisis, beyond catastrophe, that prayer needs to be a regular part of your spiritual existence. Five purposes for prayer. Here's the first thing. Number one, a purpose for prayer is to help you acknowledge and access the power of God for your life. A purpose for prayer is to help you acknowledge and access the power of God for your life. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Let's read it together. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, here's the truth of the matter. Most people, saint and sinner, move according to their spirit and not according to their flesh. As a matter of fact, most Christians, without even knowing it, tend to rely, because they are saved, more on their flesh, or as much on their flesh, as those who do not know the Lord. That's why it's normally practiced, this issue of prayer, this discipline of prayer, is normally practiced by believers, listen carefully, when they get to the place where their flesh cannot handle it. When your flesh has exhausted itself, that's when you pray. When all of your intellect and all of your connections don't work, when there's nothing else that you can do, then you say, oh, you know what? I do have that thing called prayer I can call on. Man, let me pray. And then when you're praying, if you're praying and you're praying earnestly and sincerely, and then prayer doesn't work, you say, oh, wait a minute, I remember Jesus said something about some things have to come by fasting and praying. Let me fast and pray. But it takes crisis to catalyze our prayer life. Prayer is intended to help you and to help me acknowledge and access the power of God for your life. Here's what I've learned. Prayer can help keep you out of some things you might need to pray about, or would drive you to pray because you're already praying. See, when I pray, I'm acknowledging that there's somebody bigger than I am that I need to talk to about what's going on in life. But I need to talk to God about more than just problems in life. Let me give you an example. I don't talk to my children a whole lot. I talk to Brandon probably more than others because he's up here all the time. And then I'll talk to Tiffany, you know, next. And then, you know, Marcus, that's my lone wolf. I'll hear from him, you know, every now and then, just let me know he's alive, right? He's just doing his thing. And I talk to them regularly. And I remember there was a time when, especially with Tiffany, and that's my baby girl, right? But I would only really hear from Tiffany when she needed something. And I would say, baby, I said, you know, daddy wants you to call him every now and then. Just say hello. Just talk. You know, you ain't got to wait till you need something to call me. You know, just pick up the phone and say, hey, daddy, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing good. How you doing? Oh, good. What you doing, daddy? I'm just working a little bit. What you doing? You doing? Okay, good. Just check in with me. You know, just 3-4 minutes. Just check in, right? Because I want to hear from you, besides when you need something. Now, y'all think I'm talking about my daughter, but I'm really talking about you and God, right? Because God doesn't really hear from you unless you need something. Now, Lord, if I ever needed you before, I sure do need you now. No, you need me all the time. That's why I hear God saying, no, you need me all the time. Why does a crisis have to be created for me to hear from you in an intentional and intense way? Can't I just hear from you? Jesus in Matthew 26 teaches us, man, that the flesh is weak, right? The flesh is weak, and you're going to come to the end of your flesh, but you've got to know that you can talk to God and you have access to power with God. He says, first purpose is to acknowledge and access the power of God for your life, that God makes things available for you. Here's the second thing. Second purpose for prayer is to deepen your fellowship with God. Deepen your fellowship with God. I love this passage in Exodus chapter 33. Verse 11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face. There's an intimacy that we can experience with God. Our fellowship can be deepened with God when we spend time in prayer. One of the things I want to encourage you to do when you spend your hour this weekend, please don't limit yourself to that if you want to do more, but one of the things I want to encourage you to do is just spend time fellowshipping with God. Just spend time interacting with God, not just talking to God, but allowing God to talk back to you. Allowing God to speak to you. Now, somebody may say, well, how does God speak to you? God is so amazing. He can speak to you in any number of ways. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is, are you listening? I've had God speak to me through so many different ways. I just have to be led by the Spirit and sense if this is God talking. I've had God speak to me through people. They didn't have to come to me with no, you know, special, talking about, man, I got a prophetic word from you. No, sometimes God will use somebody who doesn't even know they're being used by God. Sometimes it'll be through a song. Sometimes it's through a sermon. Sometimes it's through his word as I'm reading it. Sometimes it's through his word as it's being preached. Anybody in here ever walked into church and you swore up and down that somebody told me what you was going through the week before? You maybe looked at your wife, looked at your children, said, now who said something? I know somebody called Pastor. I've had people say, now, Pastor, come on, tell me the truth. Did my wife call you? I know my husband must have said something to you. No, just the Holy Ghost trying to talk to you one more time. Somebody else already told you, but you needed corroboration. You needed confirmation. You needed God to say something more directly to you, even though God had already been talking, you just hadn't been listening. One of the purposes of prayer is to deepen your fellowship with God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, one of the things about the death of Jesus is it's that through him, we can experience close fellowship with God. Your fellowship with God, your favor with God, the opportunity to commune with God is not based on what you have done. It's based on what Jesus has already done. His death, his burial, his resurrection, the sacrificing of his life, the shedding of his blood, gives us an opportunity now to come boldly before the throne of grace and have communion and fellowship with God. Here's the third purpose for prayer. Number three, a purpose for prayer is for you to learn how to receive God's blessings in your life. A purpose for prayer is for you to learn how to receive God's blessings in your life. Now, I know some people, your antenna just went up. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I heard that fellowship stuff. I heard that communion. Wait a minute, what, blessings? Wait a minute, hold on. How can I get more blessings? Watch what James says. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Somebody say, ouch. Prayer is the method we use to ask God for things we need. And James says There's two reasons your prayers don't get answered. So let's take the negative and let's turn it into a positive. James says, first, you do not have, the end of verse 2, because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. So A, you need to pray. James is saying the first problem is you're not praying. You are plotting, you are planning, you are scheming. You are doing everything you can in your flesh, but you are not praying. He says, if you want to have a chance to see God answer your prayer, learn how to pray. Stop doing all the other stuff that folk in the world do to try to get what they want to have in life. He says, learn how to start praying. See, many times in life we confuse worrying with praying. Because it's on our mind, we think it's now on God's mind. And we forget to pray. The more you worry, the less you pray. The less you pray, the more you worry. The more you pray, the less you worry. So maybe when your worrying goes up, just check your prayer quotient. Because when your worrying goes up, I promise you, your prayer is going down. Because at the end of that time when you pray, you say to God, God, I'm turning it over to you. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? But watch what James says. James says the first problem is you're not praying. Then look at verse 3. You ask and do not receive. He says, okay, so now here's the other side. Some of y'all not praying at all. He says, but then some of you are praying and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So here's the positive. He says some of you are not praying. You need to pray. Some of you are praying the wrong prayers. So B, you need to pray correctly. You need to pray correctly. Now, here's what's interesting about James. James says you are praying and you might be praying the right prayer, but because you're praying with the wrong motivation, you have the wrong intention. God says, I can't answer your prayer on the front end because I know you're going to mess up on the back end. Now, you can sit there and say, oh, Lord, no, I wouldn't do that. Now, remember, you love to say that, you know, the Lord knows our heart. We love to sing that song. Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a Christian in my heart, right? And we thank God that he knows our hearts until he knows your heart. God says, no. I know what you're going to do with it. And it's not going to make you a better Christian. It's going to make you worse. I love how the New King James phrases it. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Like you missing my will for your life. You missing my purpose for your life. You're missing the purpose of the blessings that you're asking for. You want to be blessed for your pleasure instead of to be a blessing to somebody else. And so basically, here's what James says. When you pray incorrectly, your prayer misses the mark every time. It's like you shooting and the target's nowhere in sight. So as you check your prayer life, whatever you've been praying for, is God not answering that prayer because he knows what you would really do with it? He knows what you would really turn into? Let me give you examples. You know, people pray for money. That's normal. You know, they want money. They want a lot of money. And they pray for money, and you know, sometimes they'll get money, and sometimes you can get it in a windfall. You know, you can get a lottery and whatever have you, you know. Some athletes, you know, sign a big check. And in particular around athletes, right, they get a big check, and they get millions of dollars, man, deposited in a bank. And then they go absolutely crazy. They start acting like a fool. And somebody would say, man, see, you see how money changed them? No, money didn't change them. Money just revealed who they were the whole time. They just couldn't afford to be that stupid on that scale. Right? Money will allow you to become a more proficient sinner if that's who you are. That's what money does. And James says, no, you praying. Some of you are not praying. Some of you are praying for the wrong things. He says, you need to know that God wants to bless you, but there's some reasons God doesn't bless you, because he knows what you call a blessing won't bless you. It'll really hurt you. Number four, a purpose for prayer is to teach you to care about others. To teach you to care about others. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Let's read it together. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. When was the last time you prayed for somebody else? When was the last time you prayed for somebody you didn't know? When's the last time you prayed for somebody that you knew but didn't like? When's the last time you prayed for them? Listen, Jesus even taught us on the cross the power of praying for folk who are doing you wrong. Come on, Luke chapter 23, you remember Jesus is on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they cast lots to divide his garments. Our late pastor emeritus, Dr. Crawford Kimball, the last sermon he preached here at our church was a request that I made. I asked him to preach the sermon. Dr. Maxey, I knew that the Holy Spirit would tell him what to preach. I said, but Pastor, I'm just going to put my request in, because I had asked him to come back and preach. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm retired from preaching. I'm not able to preach anymore. I said, Pastor, you got to preach one more sermon. We're praying for you to get power to preach one more sermon, because you've given over half of your life to this church. You spent 14 years as an associate minister at the Good Hope Church, 30 years as the pastor of the church, and at that time it was just over 20 years as pastor emeritus of the church. I said, your last sermon has got to be a Good Hope. And he preached what I consider a classic sermon called Us Is Prayer. Talked about the colloquialisms of our people who had good sense but sometimes spoke broken English. They didn't always conjugate subject verbs properly. So they used are sometimes when they should have used is, and they used plural pronouns sometimes when the singular should have been used. Sometimes they said us when they should have said we. And he talked about us as prayer, the Lord's prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us And he said, the problem in most of our lives is our prayers are more I than us. We are singularly minded and focused, selfish in our prayers. It's me, myself, and I. There's never an us or we infused into our prayer life, but Jesus taught us to use us in our prayer. Hence the title, Us is Prayer. And my brothers and my sisters, if we're honest, when we do pray, many of our prayers are selfish, self-centered, egocentric, myopic, viewed only on the person that we see in the mirror. This is what I need, God. This is what I want. Very rarely do we spend the majority of our time praying for somebody else. And we sure not going to pray for our enemies. Because we're afraid, like Jonah, God might bless them. One of the purposes of prayer is to teach you to care about other people beyond yourself. There's somebody here right now. I don't even know why the Lord is leading me. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. Somebody is watching right now. You're going through some difficult times in a relationship. And watch this. You haven't stopped to pray for the person you're in combat with. And unless you think I'm talking about somebody out there, husbands, are you praying for your wives? Wives, are you praying for your husbands? Children, are you praying for your parents that you think may be off track, even though they raised you? You think they don't know anything now. Are you praying for them? Parents, are you praying for your children? Is there an usness in your prayers? Here's the fifth and final purpose I want to share with you. Number five, a purpose for prayer is to help you become the person God wants you to be. A purpose for prayer is to help you become the person God wants you to be. Verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord's, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Too many of us have mistakenly adopted this philosophy of prayer, that prayer is about me getting more stuff from God. And when I pray and I don't get what I want from God, then there's something wrong with prayer and there's something wrong with God. When prayer is not about you getting what you want from God, prayer is really about you becoming who God wants you to be. See, you should not be praying to persuade God or change his mind. You should pray for God to change you so God can work through you to change others. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. You should be praying that God would help you to walk in obedience to his word, in obedience to his will, and in obedience to his way. You should be praying that God helps you get to the place where you fulfill your potential in him. You should be praying that when God moves on your life, he helps you to become less and less in yourself and more like Jesus. Prayer is not about getting. Prayer is about becoming. Through every trial, through every tribulation, we pray, asking God to make us into what he wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to pray, to have real communion and fellowship with you. And I pray, God, this week, as we go into intense prayer in our church, remind us afresh, God, that when we talk about the church, we're talking about people, because we are the church. So when we talk about the church praying, we're talking about Christians praying. For those who are part of Rooted and Grounded, they have their prayer assignments. For those who have been through Rooted and Grounded, they know how to pray. For those who may be watching, who may be wondering, help them, God, today to make the commitment to exercise the spiritual discipline of prayer in their lives like never before. Help them to focus on you. So many times, God, we can be so busy doing good things that we'll forget that even what we do in our flesh cannot be sustained if it's not sustained by the Holy Spirit. And so, God, even for those who may regularly pray but are reminded today to pray even more, I say thank you. Where our prayers fall short, we ask you to make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise.